In ancient Israel, they had a problem. There were way too many prophets. And with so many competing voices, the Jewish people couldn't tell who was a true prophet and who was a false prophet. So they tried to figure out a solution. And eventually they did. And lucky for us, they wrote it down in the book of Deuteronomy. And it's a simple solution. Wait a little while. See if the prophecies come true. If they don't, then the prophet was not speaking words that came from God. But if they do come true, then the prophet is speaking words from God. And that means we had probably better listen up and do what they had been telling us. This rule is very intuitive. It's very simple. Everyone can follow it. Now, whether the people of ancient Israel actually changed their lives and listened to the prophets, that's a different issue. But at least they knew that the prophet was from God. The spiritual gift of prophecy did not end in the Old Testament. 50 years ago this Wednesday, a document was released, a document which very closely followed the prophetic model. First, it reminded us of God's law and that we must always follow it. And then it made 4 predictions about what would happen if we didn't. These 4 predictions are: 1, the way would open wide to marital infidelity. 2, because of our human weakness, failing to follow this teaching in one way or another would make us become accustomed to evil, and so society's moral standards would decrease. 3, men would forget the reverence that is due to women, and they would treat them as objects, not as human beings who have equal dignity in God's eyes. And 4, public authorities would use society's acceptance of these evil practices, which were condemned in the document, and it would use these things to achieve their own goals. That document was Humanae Vitae, or Of Human Life. The author was Blessed Pope Paul VI. And the teaching he reminded us of was of the beauty of marriage, of how in marriage it's an image of God's very own love. Marriage, how marital love is a fully human kind of love, and of how, through the marital act, a man and woman become, in cooperation with God, co-creators of a brand new human life. And because of the immense goodness of marriage and of that marital act, Blessed Paul VI also reminded us of God's teaching that the use of artificial contraception is morally wrong. And if we were to use it, those serious consequences I mentioned would be the result. But it was the 60s. People didn't want to hear that, and so they didn't listen. And sadly, every single one of these predictions has come true. Because marital infidelity is rampant in Western society. We see alarming rates of adultery, divorce and remarriage without having the first marriage annulled, and the epidemic level misuse of the internet to find obscene images and videos. You get the idea. And our moral standards haven't just declined, they've all but disappeared. Look at the recent scandals involving our so-called leaders in sports, politics, and the media. Look at what passes for quality television, movies, and entertainment these days. Compare a movie from just 20 years ago to what we get today. Society has changed, and it hasn't gotten better. Our society has lost any sense of reverence due to women. I mean, things weren't perfect before, don't get me wrong, but at least we tried. And finally, public authorities have used society's acceptance of contraception for whatever they want. We saw this in China with their brutal one-child policy. And here in the United States, we've seen it when we had to deal with the HHS mandate and when we see things like public funding for organizations such as Planned Parenthood. Blessed Paul VI predicted these things. And no one, not even Catholics, sadly, really believed him, No one expected him to be right, but he was. And so now that we've seen his predictions, his prophecies come true, we must look again at what Blessed Paul VI called us to do. And we must do it. Because every time in the Old Testament we read about the Jewish people recognizing a prophet and then not following them, the results were terrible. The Jewish people were conquered, enslaved, or even worse. Now, we may not physically be conquered. Our nation may not be taken over. We may not be physically enslaved if we don't follow this teaching. But we will be conquered by evil, and we will be enslaved to sin. And that is not where we want to go. It's not where we want our society to go. Brothers and sisters, today, 50 years after the release of Humanae Vitae, we stand at a crossroads because our culture, it's suffering. Our families are suffering, and something is wrong. But we are not helpless. We have the power to change this. We do not have to accept the status quo. In fact, we must not accept it. Yes, this change will take sacrifice. It will take all the courage and all the virtue that we can muster. It will take prayer. It will take faith in God. And I will be blunt, it will take each one of us accepting the Catholic teaching on contraception. And that teaching, which was in Humanae Vitae, is very clear. Any action which either before, at the moment of, or after marital relations is specifically intended to prevent procreation is wrong. Furthermore, the Church has repeatedly condemned direct sterilization, whether of the man or of the woman, whether it is permanent or temporary. This issue touches the very meaning of what it is to be human, and it is therefore incredibly important. It is sometimes difficult to proclaim this truth, especially because it's an issue that is so very personal to each of us. But Jeremiah today reminds us, "Woe to those who mislead the flock." So we have the moral obligation to be absolutely clear. But I am not simply preaching today out of a moral obligation. I am motivated by love for all of you here because I want to see every single person in this room go to heaven. And because of that, I must be absolutely clear. The use of any birth control pill, implant, mechanical device, or medical procedure that is designed to prevent conception or pregnancy is against Catholic teaching. It is against God's teaching. And it is against what it means to be a human being. If I had any reservations at all about this, I would not be so adamant. I would not be so adamant that we must rid ourselves of this evil. We cannot do these things. Our eternal lives are at stake if we do. Now, we can't get the wrong idea about this teaching, though, because what the Church is not saying is that we need to have as many children as biologically possible. Nor is the Church saying that we don't care about women's health. We do. But God calls us to use reason to govern our lives, and this includes family size. And this is possible to do without violating Catholic teaching. The Church isn't going to just leave us hanging. There are many ways that don't violate Catholic teaching, which can help us postpone or achieve pregnancy. And together as a group, we call these things natural family planning, or NFP. Now, you may have heard people, especially doctors, sadly even Catholic doctors, who claim that NFP does not work, or they make jokes about it. They are, at best, misinformed or wrong, and at worst, they're being dishonest. Yes, the old rhythm methods were ineffective, but medicine and science develop. They get better. Modern NFP, when used correctly, has been scientifically proven to be more effective than artificial contraception at postponing pregnancy. I have the numbers. Artificial contraceptives, as commonly used, are between 82 and 98% effective. But NFP, as commonly used, is 89.4 to 99.5% effective. One of these studies was even done here in Wichita at St. Francis Hospital. And if you'd like to see the numbers yourself, come see me after Mass. I have them. If that's not enough of a reason to stop using artificial contraceptives, consider this. NFP, unlike the pill, has not been declared a Group 1 carcinogen by the World Health Organization. The pill is included in a group that contains other things like asbestos, arsenic, mustard gas, plutonium, and engine exhaust. We don't want to be putting that in ourselves. Furthermore, NFP has never been linked to severe health conditions, such as those that can arise from some of the artificial methods of contraception. And it's not just all negative. NFP has positive sides. It can strengthen marriages because it requires both the husband and the wife to work together. It can save lives because the regular observations involved can give early warning signs for certain types of cancer that would not be otherwise seen. And NFP is not just for postponing pregnancy. It can also be used to achieve pregnancy. Together with new medical treatments that are consistent with Catholic teaching, it is more effective scientifically than IVF. Especially in cases of infertility. Again, I have the numbers. Yes, NFP requires sacrifice, and it's not always easy, but it is a good thing. It's a good thing because it works better, it's more flexible, and it's better able to help women with their health issues. And finally, NFP is more respectful of women and their inherent dignity. Most artificial birth control methods work by harming the normal functioning of the body. And this increases the chances of health problems for women, such as depression, blood clots, strokes, several types of cancer, and many other things. NFP is a shared responsibility. And yes, it's a challenge between the husband and the wife. But artificial contraception is largely a one-sided burden carried by women. If you want to learn more about NFP, we have classes all over Wichita all the time. We even have classes here at Christ the King about it. Our bodies are a gift from God. And our bodies are meant to be used in a certain way if we want to be happy. We cannot continue to separate marriage, sex, and babies. Whether we want to admit it or not, at the deepest levels of our own humanity, we know these things belong together. And we must do better, because we deserve better than artificial contraception. We deserve to be loved and not to be used. In Humanae Vitae, the Holy Church stood up to society once again, as she has through the ages, and said no more to people who desire to use others for their own pleasure. The Church will never stop trying to help us to understand ourselves. And today, she reminds us that we are not made for pleasure, but for true, life-giving love. And thankfully, when we do make mistakes, the Church is always there to help pick us up, brush us off, and set us on the right path again. And she does this by providing us with the sacraments. In the sacrament of confession, God forgives our sins. He wants to forgive our sins. He especially wants to forgive our sins that touch us so deeply and so personally as those that involve artificial contraception. And after we have received the forgiveness of our sins, after we have become clean in this most intimate encounter of God's mercy, He then invites us to share in the most excellent of all the sacraments, that heaven on earth encounter with God's love, the Eucharist. The Eucharist reminds us that God made us all for greatness, and it teaches us that He made us to receive His life-giving love, and then to share that life-giving love with others. For those of you here who are already following the church's teachings here, thank you. Thank you for being witnesses to God's love. And thank you for being witnesses to God's amazing plan for each and every one of us. For those of you who aren't, I simply invite you to try. Give it a shot. And we will be here for you each and every step of the way.